Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Positively Trek. My name is Dan Gunther, and with me is, you know, honestly, one of the best people I know in my life and one of my favorite people to share Star Trek with, and that is my wonderful co-host, Barry DeFord. Barry, thank you for joining me on Positively Trek once again.
I'm here now. It's good to see you.
Boy, I don't know why openings are awkward now. I've done this. We've done this how many times now? What is it? 299 times, apparently.
Yeah, it's almost
I've
like
done Positively Trek anyway.
It's almost like you're reaching some kind of milestone, but I can't quite put a finger on it. We'll see. Yeah. But I can point a finger right now. You are hosting a Star Trek podcast.
Yes.
And you are wearing a Star Wars shirt.
Yes.
I like it. Mainly because when we went representing our Star Trek podcast at at Mile Zero Fan Summit up in Grimshaw, Alberta. It was an absolute treat. We'll get into that in a second. I'm only throwing you shade because I'm being self-deprecating because I went to that representing a Star Trek podcast in full Star Wars cosplay, complete with a lightsaber that went whoosh and zing zang zoom. So
yes,
I like it. I like the fact that, you know, in Positively Trek, honestly, Trek's our home. We love it. It's our favorite. It always will be. But there's room for other fandoms to come by and have a seat in the old captain's chair with us and enjoy some Trek talk. And you know what? We might even bring up other franchises too, because they're fantastic as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I felt a little bit, I don't know. I felt a little bit of sympathy for you representing Star Trek wearing a Jedi costume. We were even on a panel that was debating Star Trek versus Star Wars. Both of us on the Star Trek side, it should Absolutely. Be noted. But you were dressed as a Jedi, which, you know, I don't think anybody like directly thought undermined our position. But I don't know. The guy next to you in the full Starfleet uniform, I felt like there was a little bit of shade thrown.
That said, I will say I wasn't in Jedi Order robes. I was sort of more of a Andor styled, you know, if I put the lightsaber away, I could have easily passed as a Maquis.
I love it. Absolutely.
So you know, that gives our listeners some context to imagine what I looked like.
Yeah, kind of a roguish Jedi, maybe.
Yeah, there you go, a roguish Jedi. I like that. Yeah, if Han Solo actually became Force sensitive, that was me.
Well, yeah, the Mile Zero Fan Summit, I have to say, we had so much fun there. That was great. Very small town convention, doing their very first one too. So it was really fun to get on the ground floor of that.
It really was, and I have to say, like, without, you know, these littler cons, I do think that it does become kind of prohibitive to actually be able to get to all of these things. And, you know, some people we spoke to in town and stuff like that, I do have to say, were to some degree a little like, oh, you're driving a real far away to get to that sort of thing, blah, blah, blah. But I think Chance and Carolyn, honestly, you know what? They put on a really good show and they put in a lot of really hard work into it. So I just want to say to anybody there, you know what? It was a full day. We enjoyed ourselves. We had stuff to do every time. There were really great panels. Big shout out to USS Cerberus, who we will hope to get into contact soon. The 501st Star Wars cosplay group was there. There was even a really cool person who spoke about how to write science fiction and speculative fiction. That was super interesting. Really
great
merch
panel for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, were they well attended? Well, no, it's a small con, right? But that's okay, right? The only way they have to go is up. And also, if you're in Grimshaw for whatever reason, go check out the store. That place is a vibe. You can get, we went there to check it out and we saw, there was like models and there was like metal sign things. There was like a lot of pet stuff. I bought a furnace filter while I was there and I checked out some of their signs. Science fiction games. So you can basically get anything you need there. I mean, except for like produce, it's pretty much, if it's not there, you don't need it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And people might be asking, listening to us, you're talking about the store. Well, which store? It's called The Store. It's just The Store.
Very fascinating. And one last little piece here. We loved the summit. All the people we met there were fantastic human beings. I think we made a lot of good friends and acquaintances. But I do have to throw some shade at the Grimshaw Petro-Canada. They gave us free Slurpee coupons for being panelists at the Mile Zero Fan Summit. And when we went to get our free Slurpees, they didn't have any. The Slurpee machine was broken, and we didn't get our free Slurpees. So I almost flipped a table, but Dan, you cheered me up by pointing out that I could just eat M&Ms, and I did.
Well, here's my thinking. We did learn from the event organizers that there were enough people. It was well attended. It was a success enough that they are planning to do it again next year. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think I'm willing to put my card on the table and say I'm planning on being there again next year.
Yeah.
Therefore, Petro-Canada, I am keeping that coupon.
We're coming for our Slurpees.
We're getting our Slurpees. Absolutely.
100% we are coming back for those Slurpees. You better believe it. Yeah. And you know what? I have a little challenge. You know, I know there's a lot of border issues and all the things in the world are happening, but if we could possibly find a contingent of Star Trek fans from as far away as they can possibly get, honestly, Grimshaw has everything you need. They've got a multiplex. They've got I think they have a pool. I don't know. Maybe they don't have a pool.
I'm sure they must.
They got to have a pool. Please, Grimshaw, build a pool by next year if you don't, because then I'm not writing checks my butt can't cash. But it's a fun place. It's a beautiful drive. Mm-hmm. You're going through the Peace River Valley. You get to go across the Dunvegan Bridge, which is history in the making. You can even stop in Dunvegan and pick some berries if you want, if they're in season. There's a lot of reasons to go. I've flown to Vegas for a convention before. You know what? Vegas people, you can fly to Grimshaw. Well, you can fly to Edmonton and then to Grand Prairie and then drive to Grimshaw. Okay, this isn't the same. But anyways, if you can make it to the Mile Zero Fan Summit, please, please make it a priority. It is worth it. It was so much fun.
Absolutely. I'm in northern Alberta, where Grimshaw is as well, and Grand Prairie.
Yeah, me too.
And I have gone to Hunt Valley, Maryland for a convention before. And
right?
You know, larger than the one in Grimshaw for sure, but still has that kind of small convention feel. So if you've ever been to Shore Leave in Hunt Valley, imagine that, but like even smaller. it's a lot of fun. It was great. Let's flood them with Trekkies next year. And they'll be like, yeah, where did all these people come from? That would be wonderful.
Like the Borg. Let's get there. Cool. Well, yeah, I have nothing but good things to say about it. And again, mad props to Chance and Carolyn. You guys rock. Keep it up. Please keep it up. You're doing the right thing. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, our topic for today is a different one than we usually do for the podcast. So you may remember we used to do kind of breaking news on the podcast, the week's Star Trek news and stuff. And we've kind of let that slide a little bit. I've kind of, you know, offloaded that onto the YouTube channel that I do, Kurt Ratz Productions, and I do kind of a weekly news roundup there. But there was some big news this week that we definitely have to comment on, and I think it's going to spark an interesting discussion. There's a lot of parts to it, a lot of things to discuss. And for those of you who have your ear to the ground and keep up to date on Star Trek news, maybe via my YouTube channel, Kurt Ratz Productions, and my weekly Star Trek News Desk show, which is, you know, normally weekly and sometimes not, but mm-hmm. I try. We got the news that Strange New Worlds, which has not yet even aired its third season, we've only seen two seasons of it, it has now been renewed for a fifth season, which will also, unfortunately, be its final season. So we learned really early on, fifth and final season, which seems to be kind of the norm for these shows nowadays. You know, we had Discovery and Lower Decks both end after five seasons. The additional piece of that, though, is that the fifth and final season will only be six episodes long. So a significantly shorter season than the already short 10 episode seasons that we are getting in modern Star Trek these days. So I guess we'll start out with just a quick discussion of what we know regarding this. And that's the first big piece of that. So Barry, what are your thoughts on that initial little blast of, I guess, depending on your perspective, cold water in the face or good news, bad news? I don't know. How are you taking this initially?
Well, I think I'm going to kind of get a satellite image first. And that's kind of where I went with this was a knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, yeah, here they go again, canceling Star Trek, right? Like that has, like, since the Discovery boom we had to now this sort of, I mean, I'm not going to mince words. It's kind of a bust, right? Like, we don't have Lower Decks anymore. We never got a full seven out of Discovery. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. We do have Star Trek still showing up. And for the next, like, what, like five seasons, we've got other shows coming out still. And we'll talk more about that as we go. So I guess, like, first of all, I guess they're really clinging to that five-year mission idea. Mm-hmm. We could maybe polish it that way. But I do think that this is something more in the sense that the way TV works now, since streaming has kind of finally landed, right? We kind of had that streaming bubble for a period of time during like the 20 teens, and then COVID hit and people really started hitting streaming hard. And that's where we started seeing, you know, maybe a lot more of that happening. But now that people are kind of adjusting to all the new normals and going back to work and all these sorts of things, streaming is taking a pretty big hit because it's not watched the way TV used to be watched, right? Mm-hmm. Syndication really isn't the same. And I mean, especially for shows like Star Trek, I mean, syndication is what really made it its money in a lot of ways, right? That's really how it was carried for a long period of time. So I think this is indicative of all networks and all franchises kind of finding their way. And they're all pretty blind. They don't really know what they're doing. And I would say, you know, like your big ticket items, right? Let's look at Star Wars Andor, right? I would argue right now that is probably the best science fiction out there, right? It was lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. But look at the other, and I'm probably going to cheese some people up, but look at some of the other Star Wars streamings that have come out. They didn't land very well, right? Like I haven't seen it, but I didn't hear a lot of good about The Acolyte. I didn't hear a lot of good about the Book of Boba Fett on that side of things. Star Trek has kind of done similar, right? Like we had some hit and misses with Discovery. Lower Decks was a massive hit, right? I think it came out as like unexpectedly the best Star Trek out there. So I think this really gives us an idea that like, it's kind of the Wild West when it comes to streaming right now, mm-hmm. and they're all going to try to find their way. The fact that we are getting an end date right now for Strange New Worlds, in a lot of senses, I think kind of gives the writers a chance to know where things end so they don't leave a bunch of knots untied, right? Yeah. The J.J. Abrams mystery box approach, I think, is being left in the 20-teens now, which I think is an extremely good idea because mm-hmm. I don't think he really knew what he was doing. But anyways, Lost was fine, whatever. But yeah, let's be patient and let's make sure we watch these shows and enjoy them and discuss them. And at the very least, I think we will see a more modest dose of Star Trek in the coming years. There's my initial volley.
Okay. And yeah, I a lot of what you said there are things that have flitted in and out of my brain in the last few days as we've kind of digested this news. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to just kind of lay out there exactly what this all looks like. So mm-hmm. as we said, Season 3 hasn't dropped yet. We've only seen two seasons of Strange New Worlds. So there's more than double still to come of this show than we've seen already. Season 4 is currently in production and it's likely to air in 2026. Season 5 is set, according to the release that was just released here. Season 5 is set to enter production later this year. So pretty much as soon as they're done season 4, it sounds like they're going to get into production on season 5. I would imagine they're holding that till 2027 to air, you know, kind of one a year, minus, of course, the last couple years with the whole writer and actors strike and all of those kind of things contributing. Mm-hmm. And we do also have a statement from the producers. So this is Akiva Goldsman, Henry Alonzo Myers, and Alex Kurtzman put out this statement. Or more likely their people wrote something and they signed off on
it. PR people.
But it's interesting here. So the statement says, from the very beginning, Strange New Worlds set out to honor what Star Trek has always stood for: boundless curiosity, hope, and the belief that a better future is possible. We're deeply grateful to Paramount Plus for the chance to complete our 5-season mission, just as we envisioned it, alongside our extraordinary cast and crew. And to the passionate fans who have boldly joined us on this journey, thank you. With 3 more spectacular seasons ahead for you to see and enjoy, this adventure is far from over. Now, there's an interesting little piece in there that I wonder is like, I mean, it's in the opening of the show, which they borrow from the original series, where Pike says, her 5-year mission, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that was honestly just as they envisioned it, or is that a little bit of damage control? Maybe
100% that's damage control. And you can fit, like, I mean, let's just put it this way, if we want to go with time frame, the entire series of 24 was just a couple of days. So you can fit certain times into any seasons you want.
That's very right? True, yeah.
So I would say that if a franchise or a specific product like Strange New Worlds is making the money that the network wants, they will keep it going, right? Mm. That's not a thing. I think that really maybe, you know, kind of what I was saying is that we're noticing that, you know, the streaming world is kind of reaching a bit of a... it's kind of painted itself into a corner. And I mean, we all kind of know how this ends, sort of. They can kind of play around with it. But we know, if you've seen the original series, you know what happens to Pike. And if you watch Discovery, you know what happens to Pike. So, you know, it does actually have to have a bit of a logical conclusion. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily... I think maybe the reason why we're all kind of hairy eyeballing this is, like, you already took Lower Decks and Discovery from us, so we don't believe you, kind of, is maybe where we're at. But I don't know. Like, I think it's damage control. But you know what? They're right. There's still 3 more seasons to go. I'm going to say 2.5. Due to the number, but you know, there's still a lot of this cast and this crew to continue to develop, to continue to grow. There's time for the writers, and they do have an endpoint. And sometimes that kind of necessity breeds a lot more creation, right? You can sometimes do a lot with less, right? Less is more in those kinds of senses. So maybe this will make them write a little more efficiently and not be as kind of, and I do find that, you know, kind of New Trek is a little manic in its writing when they start to try to tie everything up. I mean, Star Trek has always sort of had that where, like, they come up with this big existential high concept problem that they have to solve really fast in the last 15 minutes or 10 minutes of the show.
Sometimes in Voyager, it's just a captain's log that wraps it all up.
Yeah.
Sorry, throwing shade on Voyager again. I know I need to. They're not the only ones that did that, to be fair.
No, definitely not. And throwing shade at Star Wars, somehow Palpatine survived. So, you know, it happens in writing. But I do think that maybe we can, this can streamline and just kind of condense it. But yeah, there's a lot of damage control in that very flourishing missive from our writing friends, you know, and all the love to Mr. Goldsman, Mr. Myers, and Mr. Kurtzman. Do us proud, but I'm look, there's other venues of Star Trek coming that I'm looking forward to more, but I'll let that come later in the conversation.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think this will lead to a big conversation about the future of Star Trek, which I'm excited to talk about, but
me too.
With regards to this specifically for this 5th season of Strange New Worlds, I kind of put in the notes here, there are some pros and some cons to what we've gotten here announced. So as we've alluded to, as we've said, knowing the end is coming allows the creators to craft a proper ending, as you were saying. Mm-hmm. One of the big regrets for Star Trek Discovery, of course, was that they were in the midst of making season 5 and I think had like pretty much wrapped on season 5 when they found out that would be their final season and that's it, no more. Mm-hmm. And they kind of had to go hat in hand and beg Paramount to give them some funds to shoot a little extra, right? To make that mm-hmm. season finale a series finale. And, you know, I the jury's out as to whether our listeners, whether you think that was a hit or a miss on was that a proper good series finale? I don't know. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed aspects of it. There were definitely things that I can see, though, that like the seams are showing a little bit that like this wasn't rushed. How they wanted to go. Right. Yeah. Which is it's hard to see, you know.
Hot take, better than Enterprise.
Oh, I don't think that's a hot take at all. I think that,
better than Enterprise's end.
That is a given. That is a given. Actually, as far as series finale goes, I think Discovery sits firmly in the middle of
yep.
Star Trek series finales, to be honest.
It was heartfelt.
Yeah, absolutely. From a very heartfelt show, right?
Yeah.
Very fitting. But they didn't know it was coming, right? They kind of had to scramble to make that what it was. Strange New Worlds will have the luxury of not having to do that. They will be able to craft their ending knowing that it's an ending and knowing where they want to go with it and how they want all the pieces to fall. They can make everything go towards there and end it in a proper way. I think the value of that cannot be overstated from a creative standpoint for the writers. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge thing.
One thing that, and this just came to mind was like, this could give us kind of like a Titanic feel.
Hmm.
How it's a good movie. And I will say, you know, despite the cheesy overtones of you know, retrospective 90s movies,
I think I see
Titanic is good because you know the ship sinks, right? One of the reasons. And I think maybe like, you know, Strange New Worlds is good because Pike's going to get really hurt at the end of all this. He's going to have his life ruined. And to some degree, knowing that that's getting closer and closer, if I was writing, I'd love to write that. I'd love to build that tension and build it and grow it. And yeah, it's like watching a tragedy, right? Like you, Romeo and Juliet, Macbeth, Hamlet, right? You know that tragedy is coming, but it's in the way that story is told. So, I mean, yeah, there is an opportunity there to really make this good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think these writers have proven they can do a lot of interesting things with that. Mm-hmm. And especially the kind of twist that Pike knows it's coming too. He doesn't know the full story. He doesn't know that there's ultimately a happy ending for him. He mm-hmm. only sees the tragedy, right? He doesn't see the menagerie part where he's remanded to the care of the Talosians to live out whatever amazing life he can possibly imagine. Right.
Exactly. But,
That's a pretty good ending for somebody in the position that he finds himself later. So I think that's interesting. And I look forward to seeing them play with that.
Kind of a philosophical fear of death kind of thing with like with their kind of take on an afterlife, right? Like we're all afraid of that, but
absolutely. The other aspects of the story too, that I think they've been working towards, and I've been seeing people like complain like, oh, they keep just bringing in TOS people and, you know, it's going to become their show. And yeah, it's going to become their show. Like
yes, that's <and?
laughs> kind of where Star Trek history is going. Right. Yeah. So, you know, we have Uhura, we have Chapel, we have Spock, obviously. Now we have Scotty. I mean, like they're all coming in at some point, you know, somebody's going to play Bones at some point. I'm sure I'm looking forward to seeing Sulu. Like, come on. We know that's where, and of course we have Kirk. Why didn't I mention Kirk? Of course we have Kirk now too. So
a really good Kirk too, man.
Honestly, really good. So I brought this up in a previous episode, but the group of friends that we watch Star Trek with, and we got way behind when COVID hit and we're just kind of struggling to catch up. We recently watched the season one finale of Strange New Worlds, A Quality of Mercy, which is a whole riff on The Balance of Terror from the original series.
Yeah.
So what we did was we did a double feature of The Balance of Terror and A Quality of Mercy. And I had never watched them back to back like that before. I was honestly worried, like, is this episode not going to hold up when put next to Balance of Terror? Let me tell you, it holds up. They do such a good job with that episode. And 2-1, all of my friends said, wow, that guy who played Kirk was really good, after having watched it back to back with the OG William Shatner Kirk. I was honestly surprised. I was like,
and arguably one of his best performances too. Right?
Absolutely.
Balance of Terror was one of Bill Shatner's best.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I remember when I first watched A Quality of Mercy and I was like, that was a really cool episode. Amazing concept. Wow. The time twisting stuff was great. The guy who played Kirk, I don't know. I wasn't convinced.
Huh.
After having seen him play the role throughout season two, the number of times he shows up there, and then coming back and watching this, I loved it. And like I said, my friends who had not seen all the other stuff and maybe aren't quite as invested in this whole Star Trek thing as I am, saw a young actor doing an amazing performance as Captain Kirk. And that's what they saw. And that's what, so wow. I throw up my hands and I say, you're right. You are absolutely right. I was being too critical, looking at it through some weird lens. He's incredible. Watching it this time around, it was so good.
I mean, this begs the question, right? And you've brought up a really good point. I mean, do they just take another, and I mean, I don't know, redos and reboots and yada, 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 yada aside, they could just do some TOS stuff with this crew and kind of reimagine some stuff. And I just might be here for it, given the people playing these characters.
So, okay. This just came out yesterday on trekmovie.com.
Okay.
So they had the Tribeca Film Festival had the season three premiere of Strange New World. So a bunch of people out there have seen it at this premiere. It's not going to hit Paramount Plus for another month, but you know, a bunch of people got to see it in the theater. And of course there was a bit of a Q&A session afterwards. And I mean, there was some hints dropped, not that there's plans in the works, but like they've talked about that sort of thing. Right. So, you know, Akiva Goldsman teased that they could end the show only to keep going with something new. Right. So at one point he said, and then we run into TOS, and then they've editorialized here. He says switching to conspiratorial tone, but they're not dying. And we have those sets .. Right? I mean, you know, you want to, what's the financial term? Amortize the costs of the set over another series? Right? Why not? Right? I mean, we'll get into the talk of the Star Trek future, and there's some business things that we're going to unfortunately have to talk about, but assuming all of that can get settled, I don't see why not.
Our franchises, our TV franchises are our mythologies, right? And if Rome can turn Zeus into Jupiter, all like they can kind of recycle gods and remake stories and continue and change some stories and stuff like that. Like, it's time to blow canon up and have some fun and you know, do some reimagining and some new storytelling through characters we know and love. We can do that. We can, and we honestly maybe should, because adhering to canon and trying to fill all these spaces and weave these intricate things is well and good. But again, to bring up Star Wars, if Disney can do it for Star Wars, and I would say not do very well, I think Star Trek could do better, because what do they do? But, you know, it is ripped from the headlines kind of stuff, right? Like, you know, to pop into a little bit of a Politrexy thing right now, you know, Israel and Iran are firing ballistic missiles at each other at an alarming rate. People are dying more than they were before, even during this genocide in Gaza. That is still It is still going on, right? Those sorts of things could really help people approach some of this stuff through Star Trek. Like, what would an actual Starfleet officer do if they saw what was happening in that place, right? How would they act? And to some degree, I think we as human beings on in the West are kind of sheltered from these sorts of things. And what was Balance of Terror but a way for people to, in a safe way, to some degree, kind of process the anxiety of existential nuclear destruction, right? So let's keep doing that. We need to find ways to tell stories to get people interested and to get people thinking and to get people interested in the world that we live in. And we can do that through science fiction, right? Science fiction isn't a projection into the future. It's a reflection of who we are. So let's use that. Let's do that. Let's start retelling stories. I don't mind. And I hope no one else does, because if they do, like, I don't know, I guess you got your old DVDs, go watch them. Fine, yeah. Cool. Like, I mean, we've talked about old TS shows and how great they are and how wonderful we love them and how there are some that are actual cosmic stinkers. And we watched both in the same night at certain points. Yeah. So, like, I don't know, let's all just lighten up and try this out. And honestly, and I will say, let's get some new writers in too. Mm-hmm. Right. Let's move on and start finding some new people to tell these stories. And again, I am hinting at some ideas that are possibly coming. Anyways.
Absolutely. And I mean, yeah, we will talk about, you know, the old Star Trek episodes for decades to come still. And we'll talk about these new episodes for decades to come until they're not new episodes anymore. And we'll hopefully also be talking about whatever new stuff is coming after that. Right. Like, it's all Star Trek. It's all part of this universe. And it's so much fun to talk about. And
how old is STO, right? How old is Star Trek Online at this point? And the stories that have come from that, that there are a lot of Star Trek fans who know nothing about that. And there's some really good stories with some really high-end actors in it.
Yeah. Yeah, there was just an announcement of a new Star Trek comic spinoff that came out today that involves a resurrected James T. Kirk leading a ship during the burn.
Sure.
And I'm like, okay. I have no idea what the story is beyond that, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, how many times have they killed Superman?
Right?
Right? Like, yeah. Whatever. Go for it. It's absolutely storytelling. Yay!
Positively Trek comes to you each week thanks to the efforts of our amazing Patreon members. If you'd like to help support the show, simply visit patreon.com/positivelytrek. Join at any level to get early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content. For higher tiers, we offer shoutouts, associate producer credits, and more. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Live long and prosper. Well, that is going to bring us to, so we talked at length about the pros of this announcement. Let's talk a little bit about the cons and the kind of obvious ones. The final season is only 6 episodes long. Boo. The seasons were already too short to begin with for those of us old fuddy-duddies who are used to 26 episode seasons. Boo. That said, there's been some speculation. The final season of Game of Thrones, for example, was also only 6 episodes long. I made a joke in my most recent video that is where I hope the comparisons to the final season of Game of Thrones end, because yeah, it was not a good season at all. That said, one thing they did in Game of Thrones for that final season was they had longer, almost feature-length episodes for at least half of those in the final season. Could Strange New Worlds do something similar? Could they have kind of a longer runtime to get more in on those episodes? Could we have more of kind of a theatrical type experience with an episode of Strange New Worlds? Maybe, maybe not. It's not outside the realm of possibility. So maybe there's a bit of silver lining on that dark cloud.
Yeah. And again, to use Andor, which I will admit, Dan, I'm sorry, I still haven't watched the whole thing. Because hear me out. I watch Andor, and you know what it's got me into? I'm rewatching the Dominion arc on Deep Space Nine, because there's some feels there. There's some connective tissue there, and I will go to where I'm most comfortable in times of anxiety. So I am just spooning all the Deep Space Nine pablum right now for myself. So I will finish Andor, but what I understand, because I have watched the first three episodes, that basically that's what they're doing. Is it was three, three, and three, right? Mm-hmm. And those three work as like one, two, and three features, basically, right? That's well within the realm of possibility. And actually, I think that should be the way we do things, right? Because, you know, it's really not as common for people to go to the movie theaters, and we can lament the death of the cinema and yada, yada, yada until we're blue in the face. But if we look at the reality of it, I still want to watch features, but also I want to like do laundry and like go to work and make nachos and stuff like that on my own time. So it is kind of nice that like all I'm doing right now is avoiding spoilers to the shows that I still have to watch and picking away at them in my own time at my own pace, which is really great. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that Strange New Worlds, any Star Trek, title could potentially do. And really, they should do that. And I hope that's what they're considering.
Yeah, absolutely. As a side note, you bringing up the Dominion War arc, I watched a recent video on YouTube, thanks to a friend of mine. He said, I need to watch this, by Rowan J. Coleman. The video is called Avery Brooks as Benjamin Sisko, an Acting Masterclass.
Oh,
So I watched that video and now I want to rewatch Deep Space Nine again, which is my most rewatched Star Trek show. I really should rewatch some of the other ones and kind of balance it out a bit, but oh man, Avery Brooks. Like, if you have something to say to me, say it. He's so good. Sorry.
You betrayed your uniform.
At 0800 hours station time, the Romulan Empire formally declared war against the Dominion. Oh, God. He could read them like a menu and it would be beautiful.
Well, and every time he's like, hey there, Jaco, I'm like, oh, he loves his son Jaco. So much. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no. There's our obligatory Avery Brooks appreciation moment in every episode. The long and short of it, this is possible, and it's something that you know, maybe that is the direction. Because I do think, like, though we're talking about Star Trek, I think obliquely you and I are also kind of talking about what's going to happen with streaming moving forward. Because, like I said, this isn't unique to Star Trek. We don't need to do any sort of franchise fatigue just for Star Trek or anything. Like, this is happening across the board.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think Tony Gilroy from Andor said something that the executives had said something similar to him, that the streaming revenue thing is not a thing anymore. Like, no. This is kind of it. We're seeing it everywhere. The MCU is scaling back their superhero TV show stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all across the board, as you say. So a couple other cons, just to kind of round out this section. It does cast a bit of a pall. Like, they did couch it in positive terms. It's been renewed for a season 5, but like, as we're gearing up to watch season 3, it's kind of a weird marketing choice to say, and the end is in sight. Like, that's a little weird. It casts a bit of a feeling of uncertainty on the future of Star Trek on Paramount Plus, which is the elephant in the room that we will get to in our next section. Mm-hmm. But also, if you count them up, we have 4 seasons of 10 episodes and a fifth final season of 6 episodes. That brings us to 46 episodes of Strange New Worlds total. That's fewer than Discovery. That's fewer than Lower Decks. And doggone it, couldn't they just do one more and make it 47? Right. It's Star Trek's number. Guys. Come on.
Get the hint.
tongue kind of in cheek on that one, but it's still...
No, I'm dead serious. Why not 47? Come on, you guys. Aren't you Star Trek people? Come on.
It's almost notable in that it's not. Like,
It's louder than words.
Yeah. So that's a bit of a bummer. Like, let's just acknowledge that and say, yeah, that's kind of a bummer. We're not getting a full season, and a full season is only 10 episodes. Like, it's not really big.
Well, they better be good, and, you know, make them longer if you have to, right? Don't worry about editing these things down into, you know, 45-minute shows. Like, use it, right? Mm-hmm. If you're being cut down, you know it's going to happen. Use it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, use it, throw as much in there as you can, throw in alternate takes, give us gag reels, put an after credit scene. Let's just stay with these characters as long as we can, because I'm going to miss them, darn it.
Yeah. Make them do entire scenes in funny Irish accents, all that stuff.
Totally. One final thing that I didn't put in the notes, but was an interesting perspective that I heard, and I wanted to mention this before we move into the next part, which is going to be a big discussion. Somebody pointed out on the guest on the Weekly Trek podcast with Alex Perry. I can't remember who the guest was, but they made a very good point that if you take Anson Mount playing the character of Christopher Pike, if you count the fact that he did that throughout season 2 of Star Trek Discovery, he's played this character for nigh on 10 years now. And part of the wondering, and now I'm kind of wondering a little bit, is he eager to move on as well? Like, you know, maybe you don't want to stick with something like this your whole life. We've heard, for example, during the actors' strike that some of the contracts that actors are required to sign and the projects they can take on when they're committed to a streaming series, sometimes they're not able to take work that they would be interested in because they have to be on call, kind of thing. This is just total speculation, but maybe he's about ready to move on at this point too.
I'd be happy to see him go. Like, I mean, I don't know. I love Christopher Pike. I'm not the hugest fan of Anson Mount for certain reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's not something I'm necessarily going to waltz into at this point in time right now, but we can maybe talk about that another day. I think it is good that we see actors kind of come and go. I think it's good that, you know, there is sort of a terminal aspect to thing, and you're right. Like he's had his time and that's good. Right. I mean, if we're cool with accepting that other people can play, you know, timeless characters like Sulu and Uhura and stuff like that, then, you know, we can see these characters who've taken these guys on, you know, the way they are, come and go too. So I hope we do see kind of a bookends to the time he plays this specific character. And yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of a way to do it. And I think maybe that could be why they are shortening things and doing these kinds of announcements right now, because this does mean that Anson Mount can get work in a little while, because the people who he would be applying for to go work at would be like, oh, but you're going to still be doing season, you know, 7 of Strange New Worlds, aren't you? Season 6. And he'll be like, nope, as they said, I'm only here till season 5. Right. So he can actually make real plans in like a legalistic term, right? Mm-hmm. My contract's over on this day. So if you want to hire me, go ahead.
Yeah. And everyone else too. I mean, I think there's some great careers ahead of a lot of the people on Strange New Worlds. Melissa Navia, are you kidding me? Yeah. I would kill to see her in everything I love going forward, right? There's some amazing performers on Strange New Worlds that I think, I look forward to where their careers are going, especially the younger folks on the cast. Absolutely.
Kind of like, I think everyone knows here, like I also follow sports hockey, you know, I still follow players who played for my favorite hockey team. You know, even when they've left my team, you know, when I think about when we were being told we were getting Sonequa Martin-Green, I was just like, oh man, here comes a heavy hitter, right? Here comes a serious goal scorer. Okay, cool. Right. Like, you know, they people will come and go. And I think that's the thing is Star Trek is a great place to cultivate talent.
Well, here's kind of the big discussion, I guess. It's going to get a little heavier, I think. And this is, what does the future of Star Trek look like? So what does this announcement mean? What does Star Trek look like going forward? And I think, again, it's important to start with what we know for sure. So in the short term, in kind of a weird little coincidence here, we have 46 episodes of Star Trek that they've said is ahead of us still. So that's season 3, 4, and 5 of Strange New Worlds. So 10, 10, and 6. And then 2 seasons so far of Starfleet Academy. So season 1 is coming next year. They have said it is renewed for a season 2. Barring some weird Star Trek Prodigy shenanigans, we will get that season 2, knock on wood.
Don't get me started.
Yeah, right. So that's 46 episodes that takes us through 2027. Now, 2027 is an interesting year because that is the year that Alex Kurtzman's contract is up. So, and I'm listening out my window now to the people listening to our podcast, and I'm hearing half boos, half cheers. We're putting that all aside. Your personal opinions about Alex Kurtzman and how he's led this franchise, we're not going down that negative path. The fact is he's shepherded it through many new shows and many new iterations of Star Trek. And the fact that his contract is up is interesting for that year. And there's kind of a lot of things coming to a head right now with Star Trek that I think are things that are maybe acting against it. Paramount is shedding money, obviously. They are in dire straits. They are waiting on this Paramount Skydance merger to be finalized. And because nobody at Paramount can have a good day, Paramount's being sued by the current US government for $20 billion, I think, because of the way they edited an interview with Kamala Harris.
And I know, right? Wow.
It's ridiculous. And they're obviously under a lot of pressure to settle that because the FCC under the Trump administration also has to okay the Paramount Skydance merger and say that it doesn't contravene various laws and that sort of thing, right? So they're under pressure to settle with Trump and give them a ton of money so that they'll act favorably towards the merger that they want to do. And in the meantime, Paramount President Sherry Redstone has gotten letters from several Democratic politicians, including Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, saying that if you pay that settlement, that will constitute a bribe and we will prosecute you for that. So they are under so much pressure from all sides right now. I honestly would not want to be in their position at all right now. And all of this means that this is all roadblocks towards them settling this thing, getting this merger done. And I honestly think we will not see any announcement of any new shows or anything like that until that merger is done. So what does all that mean? God, if I know, I have no flippin' idea what they're going to do, how that's going to all work out. It honestly sounds like an absolute nightmare.
The point of the test is to feel fear. Fear in the face of certain death.
It is the Kobayashi Maru. Absolutely.
And I think that's it. Is there's a lot of crooked nonsense that goes on.
It's ugly
with all this stuff. Really quick weigh in, and I'm going to weigh in. And I know you said you didn't want to, but I'm going to weigh in. I don't like every single choice Alex Kurtzman made. Mm-hmm. But I also don't like every single choice Rick Berman did.
No, and absolutely.
Hear me out. I don't like every single choice Gene Roddenberry made.
Blasphemy. But no, but absolutely.
I love Star Trek. Yeah. And I love the characters. I love the actors. I love the ensembles. The cast ensembles are what I'm here for every time. So, you know, I would like to see Mr. Kurtzman be done his contract and move on and someone new take on that mantle. Absolutely. Right. But I don't say that with malice or hatred or anything other than perhaps the odd bristling frustration with some of the minor choices he's made, but you know what? Whatever. It's fine. Right. I'm not a producer. I can't speak to that sort of stuff. I do think it's important what you're bringing up, however, in terms of this extremely delicate position that Paramount is in. Now, we have to understand that money in these bigger, gigantic corporate conglomerates does not work the way it does in a household, right? Much like it doesn't with governments, right? You should never say, oh, we need to pay off our debt because otherwise we'll all go broke. It's like, well, no, in a house, yes, but in a province or a state or a nation state, sometimes debt is good. Sometimes debt is actually important. And so I will just say in an economic sense, the fiduciary duty of the CEO is to make money for the shareholders. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really key the debt aspect of this. And I have to say, $20 billion is a silly number. And I think really what this is very similar to like slap litigation, where they're really just trying to give Paramount a big old slap on the wrist for doing something bad about a person who, I'll be frank, if she didn't actually stand up and say something about the people of Palestine, she would have gotten voted in 100%. And you know, people can yell at me in the comments over that, but whatever. And I'm no lover of Donald Trump either. Like, I'll say that straight up. The guy's a buffoon. But this litigation, this whole legal issue, is something that I think is more bark than bite, to be perfectly honest. And if anything, with this elapsing, yeah, we're not going to see any new properties show up or anything like that. But Paramount isn't necessarily going to simply disappear. And I do think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of lawyers who are going to get a lot of money over all this. But other than that, I think we're still going to get our shows.
It's the main thing is the, like, without getting too much into, you know, the politics of everything, this administration, more than any before that we've seen, is very much has its fingers in all of its parts to kind mm-hmm. of weaponize them, right? And like,
yeah,
there, as far as I know, at least not to this extent, there hasn't been like FCC decisions that were personally influenced by the president so that he gets his will. Whereas this time around, that's a very real concern because of things mm-hmm. that have been happening with other aspects of the government and stuff. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, just the fact that, like, if I don't do this thing, then this separate branch of the government is going to, you know, punish us for mm-hmm. this is really uncharted and weird territory. And it's like, do you play along with that and game the system that way? Or do you stand up for your principles and say, no, that's wrong, and then not get the thing you need to continue doing the thing you want to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how you make that decision exactly. And like, yeah. So that's concerning. Now, putting all of that to one side as much as we possibly can and just saying, like, that's going to do its thing. There's yeah. not really much we can say about it other than to highlight what a cluster bleep that is.
Mango Mussolini is going to do what Mango Mussolini does.
Exactly. Yeah. Whispers that we've gotten about future stuff at Star Trek, right? So Strange mm-hmm. New Worlds is coming to an end. Starfleet Academy, we don't know beyond season 2. Maybe it's a hit, maybe it's the new flagship and everybody loves it and they go on and they do 5 seasons of that. Who can say? That's mm-hmm. I think a bigger question mark now than maybe it was a week ago because of mm-hmm. our peek behind the curtain at some of the things going on. Besides that, there's been one other series that's been teased. It's so not greenlit. It hasn't been greenlit. It hasn't been bought by Paramount. But Tawny Newsome and Justin Simien are working on a live-action Star Trek comedy series.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen.
It sounds great. Every time they talk about it, it sounds amazing. It has evolved since the initial, announcement, since the initial kind of talk about it at, I think it was San Diego Comic-Con a while back. And now it's kind of looking at what it's like for a planet that wants to join the Federation. There's some aspect of that to it. Most excitingly, somebody asked Tawny Newsome if there was a chance that like Beckett Mariner could show up in the show. And she didn't say yes, but she did say, when I write things, I write them for me to be in.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. That's pretty cool. I really hope this does happen. I think Tawny Newsome and Justin Simien are both brilliant, and mm-hmm. I would love to see the product of this come to light. So yeah, that's what we know about for Star Trek on television. I think Alex Kurtzman has at one point hinted that there was something else they were talking about or working on, but with no details given.
Yeah.
Who knows? A lot of this, the more we kind of get into this, it feels like it's out of his hands and he's just kind of like, I'm not allowed to say anything till the folks upstairs say you can say something. Right. So
yeah, we're like a year into knowing that Tawny Newsome and Justin Simien have been planning this. Right. So mm-hmm. I would expect that like at least by autumn, we should know that there's something in the works. I would hope because I mean, they can't wait forever. In that respect, but just given the brilliance Tawny brought to Lower Decks, right? Mm-hmm. Specifically, throwing some love her way. She's the future of Star Trek writing. Yeah. I'm gonna just say this straight up. Her direction, her influence. She really knows how to do it.
We should say also she is one of the writers for Starfleet Academy as well, which
yeah, and so this
huge.
Yeah. And this is important, right? I mean, suddenly I'm McMahon. How do you say? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I mean, he did a fantastic job too. Like, much love to him. Please don't think that I'm you know. And Rick and Morty was fun for a while. I kind of lost interest after a while. But I did the same thing with Family Guy too, and everything mm-hmm. else. So, whatever. You know, I do really think that this is the direction that Star Trek is going. And I'm not just saying it has to go in a comedic way. Like, I don't see Starfleet Academy being a fully comedic show. But I'm guessing, given that Tawny Newsome's going to be at the helm of this, there's going to be some really good comedic beats throughout. Mm-hmm. And I mean, with Bob Picardo there, I'm sure he'll be able to catch some of that and do a pretty good job. Cause you know, I do have to say he's my favorite Voyager character, I would say, more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Between Bob Picardo being there, Tig Notaro being on the cast and Paul Giamatti being there right? for season one, like, yeah, if there's some comedic beats written here, they have some actors with some chops to hit those beats.
There's some goal scorers there for sure.
Yeah, definitely. So like, I'm very excited about Starfleet Academy and that is something that's kind of, I think, been lost in a little bit of all the discussion of Strange New Worlds in recent weeks, which is fair. It's third season is coming up, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're supposed to be talking about right now. But, yeah. You know, there's at least two seasons of Starfleet Academy coming. And I just, given the way they've lined up those pins for that show, I can't see them not knocking them down. Like, it looks, they have all the ingredients there. I really hope it's a hit.
Well, I mean, to some degree, like, you could say, like, post-Burn, you could kind of almost redo that era mm-hmm. as well. Like, you know, as things sort of redevelop themselves. I'm excited for that. And it feels fresh, I think, is the best way to say. Like, as much as I like the nostalgia of Strange New Worlds, I desperately want Pike's Quarters just as a place to live.
That fireplace, man. Wow.
Oh, dude. Like, seriously, what happens when they experience, like, extreme turbulence? You know, like, what's going on there? But anyway, I see that freshness. There's a young feel to it. And yeah, I mean, that really could carry us into a new era. I guess what I want to say, Dan, ultimately with this is, if all the bottom drops out here and Paramount gets sued and it breaks apart and just a catastrophic, you know, saucer separation, loss of the main, of the secondary hull and every crashes into the planet. And that's the end of that. We still have the novels. We still have the comics. And honestly, it might open the door for some really cool fan films.
Yeah.
Right. With the use of AI these days, with, you know, the amount of interesting people you and I have specifically spoken to who are Star Trek fans as well, you know, like, we know how to go underground too. Mm-hmm. Like, we know how to take care of ourselves as fans. We have been through worse. And also we've kept these franchises going ourselves by writing letters and doing things. We have people power, and the proof is in the pudding. We have a very strong pedigree. So I'm going to hope that things are going to work out and that we're going to see these interesting new fresh takes on Star Trek, and, you know, let the legalities and all that nonsense sort itself out. I'm not a lawyer and I don't really care.
not much we can do about that anyway.
No. There's an old saying, are you worried? And if you say yes, then the next question is, will it help? Just be happy. You're very right in saying that the next 2 years we've got Star Trek coming down the pipe for us, coming down Absolutely. The pike for us.
Which is actually the proper, it's pike. Yeah,
it is, isn't it? That's so weird. What do they mean by coming down the pike?
I looked it up once and I can't remember, but
it's like ignominious. I don't get that one either. But yeah. Anyway.
Well, I'm going to share my final thoughts on this as well, which is, like you say, we've got a couple more years of Star Trek for sure that we know of. That's, you know, as much as it can be set in stone at this point, if, like you say, the bottom drops out and it crashes and burns and there's no more Star Trek after that for some period of time, we've been through that before. Right? We've used those lifelines of the books and the comics and our community to talk about Star Trek. There was no shortage of Star Trek discussion during the fallow period, right? Mm-hmm. And also that fallow period, it was pointed out to me the other day, how long was that between the end of Enterprise and Star Trek 09? That was 4 years. That was not very long. Star Trek is something that will come back. It doesn't matter what happens to kind of put it underground. It's a part of the culture that will come back in some form. And I am very excited about what remains in this iteration of Star Trek. And if it continues, that's awesome. That's amazing. Great. I'm also excited for the next iteration of Star Trek as well. And because I know that it will be as groundbreaking and as interesting and as fun as this one has been. So, at a minimum, right? So, bring it on. If they do need to take a few years off because of whatever legalities and whatever crap that, you know, okay, join the club. There's a lot of things in this world that have had to take a few years off because of crap going on. So if Star Trek is one of those casualties of that, that's sad, that sucks, but we'll get through it. And I'm excited for what comes next, right? So
me too.
Yeah.
My mom said recently, I'm not going to go too much into it, but we're dealing with some family crisis right now. And my mom said, sometimes I wish I had a crystal ball and most of the time I'm glad I don't.
Yeah. It's kind of that same, be careful what you wish for, right? It's along the same lines of wanting to know what people are thinking all the time. It's like, do you? I don't know that you do.
As an analog, I mean, this is kind of like we're all pike.
Yeah.
Right. We're looking at this sort of existential threat ahead of us, but we have to also understand that, like, sometimes you got to go through those existential experiences to get to the reward on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Right. So you know what? You said bring it on. My favorite Disney movie, Emperor's New Groove. Right. when Emperor Kuzco and his human companion, are going over Pacha? That. Gonna go over
Pacho?
Pacho, yeah. They're going over the waterfall or about to. And he's like, the guy's like, oh. And he's like, what? Let me, because he's facing the wrong way. He can't see what's coming ahead. And he's like, what is it? And he's like, oh. And he's like, let me guess. Waterfall? He's like, yeah. Yeah, really, really long drop. Yep. Lots of rocks. Oh, yeah. And he just stops. And he's like, bring it on. That's what we got to do.
Absolutely. I just realized, from you saying that the creators of Strange New Worlds have just played the biggest meta commentary on their show on us, right? We are all pike now. We see this ending coming. We now know when and roughly how it's going to end.
They're secret geniuses.
Yeah. The only thing is, just like pike, we can't see what the big special menagerie thing that's going to happen after it is. So
exactly.
Just keep that in mind.
Think about that on all of the really hard things you may be going through, dear listener. This too shall pass. You will be okay. As long as there is life, there is hope. There's always a kind person out there. let me help is the motto, and let's just keep on keeping on for now. Tomorrow hasn't been written yet. Even if we live in a space-time sort of block universe like Einstein thought, we can't perceive that whatever tomorrow has happened yet. So let's just live like that and enjoy what we have right now. Enjoy the people we have with, stand up for what's right, and keep watching Trek.
I couldn't end this on a more perfect note. Thank you for that. So thank you all so much for listening and watching this week. We really appreciate you. Check out the Positively Trek discussion group on Facebook. And I can't think of anything else to say other than, of course, as always, stay positive. Positively Trek is produced and edited by me, Dan Gunther, and co-produced by Barry DeFord on Treaty 8 territory, the home of the Beaver, Cree, Dene, and Métis people, whose histories, languages, and cultures we respect. We acknowledge the many First Nations, Métis, and Inuit who have lived in and cared for these lands for generations.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.